Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, it's Amy McDonald's here. Welcome to this edition of the Arsenal audio programme.
Arsenal versus PSV Eindhoven, Thursday, October the 20th, 2022. Kickoff, 5:45 p.m. The contents. Captain's notes around Arsenal. Sustainability. Player feature, Rhys Nelson. Community voice, minute detail. Academy young gun, women. Inside job, Callum Denny. Visitors, PSV Eindhoven. Around the academy. Match action, Arsenal versus Bodo Glimt. Match action, Arsenal versus Liverpool. Match action, Bodo Glimt versus Arsenal. Match action, Leeds versus Arsenal. And teams.
Martin Odegaard, Captain's Notes. I don't think I've ever known anything like that start to the match we all experienced, having to go back into the dressing room after just 1 minute on the pitch. It was strange for us all. We'd just started the game, had our mind tuned into the game, then we're told nothing was working and we had to stop. It was a strange situation. In the end, the referee told us to go inside, but we didn't know anything more than that. We didn't know how long we'd be in the dressing room, so we just had to try and keep our focus, keep ourselves warmed up to be ready for the restart. It's easy to lose your focus when something like that happens, but I think we did really well to keep ourselves ready for the game. We all spoke and agreed that whatever happens, we just have to find a way to win, and that's what we did in the end. We started the game well, and played well in the first half, but the second half was maybe a different story, but we showed great resilience. Since my first few days and weeks at the club, I felt like I've got a good connection with Bukayo Saka, on the pitch and off it, so it was great to give him another assist on Sunday. He's a player I really enjoy playing alongside. He makes those runs in behind, and it's down to me to give him the ball when I can. We have those small combinations, those little 1-2s, and we play quite close to each other on the pitch, so we always talk together about finding the best ways to hurt the opposition, and I think we're understanding each other more and more on the right side of the pitch. I watched the last 20 minutes or so from the bench, and it's even harder to cope with when you can't be involved in a tense finish like that. From the outside, it was a tough watch. Together with all the supporters, we went through all the emotions you can have. First of all, they win a penalty, then they miss it, then they're given another one, we have the red card, then we don't. But we could see it was a wrong decision at the time. I was really surprised when he made the call, but thankfully they changed it with the VAR. Overall, it was a different type of win for us. We didn't play well. We lost the ball so often. Nothing seemed to be working, but we found a way to win. We fought hard for it. Aaron did extremely well in goal, and it was a true team win, I would say. Sometimes you enjoy these types of wins even more afterwards, when it's been tense. But at the same time, you know the performance wasn't great. I think we can be proud of how we dealt with the different situations, though. The delayed start, the penalty, the red card. All the chances they had. It was a different way to win, but a good way to win as well. We found a different way to win last week against Bodo too. For me, it was nice to be back in Norway, though I wouldn't say I was back home. In fact, the time between London and home is about the same as between Bodo and my hometown. But I'm very proud of my country, and it was good for me to go back and see loads of familiar faces. There were people I know from the national team, and players that I played with at Stromgomset, my old club side when I started playing in Norway. So I was able to catch up with them. It was a good experience, and especially getting the win there made it a memorable trip for us. The game was exactly how we expected it to be. We knew it would be a different experience for us, playing on an artificial pitch out there. The speed of the pitch was completely different to what we're used to. We had to try to adapt to that, and we didn't have the best performance, or play as well as we know we can, but they are very strong at home, so we have to be happy with the win. It's back to the Europa League tonight to play PSV, and when you look at the names in the group, you would say that they're probably our toughest opponents in the group. I think Bodo are strong at home, so it will be interesting to see what happens when PSV play there, but for sure it will be a big test for us tonight. They've scored so many goals this season, especially in the last few weeks, and they have a lot of quality up front. It's a very dangerous team, and it will be a completely different type of game again that we need to prepare for. We're in a strong position in the group after three games, but we can't relax, because our aim is to not just qualify, but win the group too. If we can do that, we know that we'll basically miss out the round and then play later in the new year. It was our main goal before we started, and still is now, so tonight's game is very important to achieve that. We have to get qualification first, and then think about the next round. But if you look at the sides that could come into the competition from the Champions League, then you know there'll be a lot of quality in the Europa League. The challenge to win the tournament is great, but it's a good challenge for us. That's what we want to do, fight to win trophies. That's the goal, and that's why every match is so important for us. We all need to be together to achieve that, and on behalf of the whole team, I want to thank you for your amazing support lately. We could hear you in both Bodo and Leeds. It's unbelievable, and makes a big difference to us.
Around Arsenal, 9 out of 10. Congratulations to Mikel Arteta and his team for achieving the most profitable first 10 matches in our top flight history, with 1 defeat and 9 victories, following our win at Elland Road on Sunday. Our best ever record matches that achieved by Harry Bradshaw's Gunners in 1903-04, but that campaign was in the second tier of English football, though we were promoted to the top division at the end of that season. Two teams featured in both runs, Manchester United, who we beat 4-0 in 1903, and Leicester Fosse, later City, who we thrashed 8-0. North London forever. Beth is Ballon d'Or runner-up. Beth Mead capped a career-best season by scooping second place in this year's prestigious Ballon d'Or Féminine. At Monday night's 66th Ballon d'Or ceremony, Beth prevailed over the biggest names in football after a historic year to be named 2021-22 runner-up. It was Barcelona's Alexia Putellas who was awarded the top prize for the second year running, with Sam Kerr of Chelsea in third place. According to the official points total, there was only a single point separating Beth from the top spot. The Ballon d'Or Féminine celebrates the best international talent across women's football over the past 12 months. But this is only the fourth time it has been awarded. Lyon's Ada Hegerberg won the inaugural award in 2018, followed by OL Reign's Megan Rapinoe and Putellas with her first win. Across the 2021-22 WSL season, Beth registered 11 goals, 8 assists, and a whopping 72 chances for the Gunners. She then carried her form through to the summer and the UEFA Women's Euros, where she won the Golden Boot and the Player of the Tournament Award, as England's Lionesses strode to victory at Wembley. This was her first Ballon d'Or nomination. Her teammate Viviane Medema was also nominated for the accolade for the third time and placed 11th. Elsewhere in the ceremony, Bukayo Saka came in 8th place for the Copa Trophy, as Barcelona's Gavi was named the world's best under-21 player over the course of the season. Beth's 2nd place finish matches the best ever achievement at the awards by an Arsenal player. Thierry Henry came 2nd to Juventus's Pavel Nedved in 2003. Thierry also claimed a 3rd place in 2006, when Real Madrid's Fabio Cannavaro was a very rare defensive winner. Milestones today. Two defenders could achieve significant milestones for the Gunners this evening. Kieran Tierney played his 99th game for the Gunners when he came on as a substitute at Elland Road on Sunday. The Scottish left-back, who joined us in August 2019, has scored four times in his 99 games for the club. Ben White played his 49th game for Mikel Arteta's team in the win over Leeds. The versatile defender joined us in July 2021 and has yet to score for the team. Whatever the weather. Arctic Monkeys at Emirates. We are delighted to announce that Arctic Monkeys will play at Emirates Stadium on Friday, June 16th, Saturday, June 17th, and Sunday, June 18th, 2023, as part of a major UK and Ireland summer tour. Following news of their forthcoming album, The Car, out on October 21st, Arctic Monkeys have lined up the biggest UK and Irish tour of their career to date, with shows set for May and June 2023. Arctic Monkeys join an illustrious list of artists and bands to play at our home since it opened in 2006. Following in the footsteps of Bruce Springsteen, Coldplay, Green Day and Muse. This summer we also hosted The Killers, who played two sold-out shows as part of their Imploding the Mirage tour, supported by singer-songwriter Sam Fender. Our Chief Commercial Officer, Juliet Slott, said, "It is a true honour to host homegrown talent like Arctic Monkeys at Emirates Stadium. This band have cemented themselves as a key pillar of British music culture over the last 15 years, and we cannot wait to see the hit-packed show they bring next summer." The announcement that Arctic Monkeys will play here reaffirms Emirates Stadium's reputation as a world-class multi-purpose venue in the heart of London. Tickets are on sale now from www.gigsandtours.com and www.ticketmaster.co.uk, and hospitality packages are available now from www.hospitality.arsenal.com. Can we qualify tonight? It depends what qualify means in the restructured Europa League. If the Gunners were to win tonight, they would have 12 points, meaning the lowest they could finish in the group would be second. However, the competition has changed somewhat since our last involvement during the 2020-21 season, and qualifying as top of the group has now been significantly incentivised. All the group winners will progress straight into the round of 16, which is due to take place on March 9th and 16th. The second place teams go into a playoff round on February 16th and 23rd, where they will face off against the eight teams that finished third in the UEFA Champions League groups to earn the right to reach the round of 16. The third place teams drop into the UEFA Europa Conference League, where they will face the group runners-up from that competition in the playoff round, also on February 16th and 23rd February. Anyone finishing fourth will be eliminated from European competition. As usual, the knockout stages will be home and away legs, although the away goal rule has been scrapped. The dates for the knockout rounds have been confirmed as knockout round playoffs, February 16th and 23rd. Round of 16, March 9th and 16th. Quarterfinals, April 13th and 20th. Semifinals, May 11th and 18th. Final, May 31st. The tournament showpiece final will take place in Budapest at the 65,000-seater Puskas Arena. Current Group A table. Arsenal played 3, won 3, drawn 0, lost 0, goal difference 5, points 9. PSV played 3, won 2, drawn 1, lost 0, goal difference 9, points 7. Bodo Glimt played 4, won 3, drawn 1, lost 2, goal difference minus 3, points 4. Zurich played 4, won 0, drawn 0, lost 4, goal difference minus 11, points 0. These streets are our own. Playing PSV. We've played against PSV, now managed by Ruud van Nistelrooy, on six previous occasions, winning twice and drawing three times with one defeat. The Dutch side finished second in the Eredivisie last term, but lost out to Rangers in the Champions League qualifiers. UEFA Champions League Group Stage, September 25th, 2002. PSV 0, Arsenal 4. Gilberto, Lundberg, Henri 2. UEFA Champions League Group Stage, November 11th, 2002. Arsenal 0, PSV 0. UEFA Champions League Group Stage, September 14th, 2004. Arsenal 1, Alex own goal, PSV 0. UEFA Champions League Group Stage, November 24th, 2004. PSV 1, Ujier, Arsenal 1, Henri. UEFA Champions League Second Group Stage, February 20th, 2007. PSV 1, Mendes, Arsenal 0. UEFA Champions League Second Group Stage, March 7th, 2007. Arsenal 1, Alex own goal, PSV 1, Alex. And my heart will leave you never. Arsenal and after. We know lots of supporters have enjoyed reading Paul Davies's candid recently released autobiography, Arsenal and After. And after our next home game against Nottingham Forest, supporters will have the chance to meet Paul and get their book signed. One of our leading players during the extraordinary George Graham period of the club's history, Paul will be in the armoury from 4pm on Sunday, October 30th, following the final whistle of the match against Forest. Books will be available to buy at the armoury. See you there. Notice board. Totaliser, £220. Happy 18th birthday, Cassia. Behind you, all your memories. Before you, all your dreams. Around you, all who loves you. Within you, all you need. Love, kisses and hugs, mummy and daddy and family. Socrates, happy 11th birthday. Born to be a gooner. Love, Miriam, mum and dad. Grayson is supporting the team today and wanted to wish his lifelong fan dad, Steve Mount, a happy 30th birthday. Wishing Terry Dorrington a very happy 75th birthday tomorrow. Love Eileen, Natasha, Daniel and families. Happy 9th birthday, Cole Sherling. Love from all the family. Happy birthday, James O'Leary. Love Mum, Dad and Pappy the dog. Happy birthday, Joanna Black. Have a fantastic day, my little gunner. Love Tracy, Rosie, Mama and Papa. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Happy 70th birthday to season ticket holder Chris Denchfield. Wishing you a fantastic time celebrating. Love Pat, Matt, Claire, Charlotte, Iris, Sarah, Ben and William. Happy 18th birthday, Grace. Love Flo, Tom, Edith, Eva, Sammy and Otto. Zane, happy 13th birthday. Have a great day. Arsenal remembers. Thomas Avido Vaz, an ardent Arsenal fan since he moved to the UK from Goa, India in 1978. He sadly passed away with illness on August 3, 2022, leaving behind his beloved wife, Vilma, and children, Fiona, Vanessa, and Aaron. Steve Nicol, 68, and Mark Nicol, 62. Brothers who were massive Arsenal fans sadly passed away in May and July, respectively. Matchgoers since the 1960s, season ticket holders since the 1980s, both saw 11 FA Cup final victories and 6 league title wins. Their burning passion for Arsenal lives on through their children and grandchildren. They will both be sorely missed. Mark Anthony McGurk, wonderful, loving husband and proud father, passed away on May 15, 2022, aged just 39. Mark is survived by his wife Cindy and sons Dylan, Bradley, Caden and Theo. A lifelong Arsenal fan, he will be deeply missed by all who knew and loved him. Gary Cumber, a passionate fan and loving father, passed away suddenly on September 30, 2022, aged 46. Gary grew up in Highbury, held a season ticket and never missed a game in his youth. He moved to Australia 15 years ago, where he raised 3 little gooners who have his passion and watch every match. Rest in peace, Gary. We know you are now at home. North London forever and Arsenal for life. Philip Mason, MBE, awarded for services to disabled people in Hampshire. December 15, 1942, September 14, 2022. A passionate, lifelong Arsenal supporter and season ticket holder. A generous and inspiring role model to so many. Phil will be deeply missed by his family and friends. Stuart Wright, age 55, sadly passed away on September 29, 2022. A lifelong fan and season ticket holder, following the team home and away from a teenager. He will be deeply missed by all his family and friends. My blood will forever. Ticket news. Home tickets. Arsenal vs Nottingham Forest. Premier League. Sunday, October 30th. Kick-off 2 p.m. Cat C. Tickets are now on sale to Silver, Red, Cannon and Junior Gunner members via the Ticket Exchange Service. Arsenal vs FC Zurich. Europa League, Thursday, November 3rd, kick-off, 8 p.m, CAT, EL4. Tickets are on sale to Silver, Red, Cannon and Junior Gunner members via Ticket Exchange. Arsenal vs Brighton and Hove Albion, Carabao Cup, Wednesday, November 9th, kick-off, 7:45 p.m. Tickets are on sale to friends and family via the Ticketfast Print at Home facility. Members will be able to purchase up to 4 tickets on each membership. Booking fees apply. Away tickets. Southampton vs Arsenal. St Mary's Stadium Premier League. Sunday, October 23rd. Kick-off 2 p.m. This fixture sold out to all Platinum, Gold and current travel members with 40-plus away points. PSV Eindhoven vs Arsenal. Philips Stadion. Europa League. Thursday, October 27th, kick-off 5:45 p.m. This fixture sold out to all Platinum, Gold and current Travel Club members with 30-plus away points. Run through the stone.
Sustainability. Lions Happy Feet. We supplied Boré Lions Football Club with new boots recently, which should help them at the upcoming Nîmes Cup competition, which is also sponsored by the club, and aims to support local teams whilst promoting tree planting in this deforested part of Kenya. There's a picture in the programme where you can see the team preparing for a training session ahead of the Nîmes Cup, wearing their new boots. And in the photo next to this article, George received some fetching orange footwear, which he's using to demonstrate his close control. George Sumahare is 24 and is a right-footed wide player who wears number 7. He loves Arsenal and enjoys the fact that his teammates call him Eddie, as he models himself on his hero, Eddie Nketiah. George is currently unemployed and playing for the Lions is really important to him. Thanks for representing the Lions and Gunners, George. Riding highs. After featuring academy goalkeeper Alexei Rojas in the last issue, opting to cycle to the training ground, two more members of staff, camera operator Dan Hayton and sustainability manager Mike Lloyd, both pledged to follow Alexei's lead. Cycling to and from work has many positives, even as we enter the cold, damp and dark winter months. Beside the obvious health benefits of getting the heart pumping and legs moving, the environmental benefits are substantial. Recent research has shown that just by swapping one journey per week from car to bike reduces the carbon footprint of the individual by about 0.5 tons per year. Not a bad reduction when the average annual emissions for those who live in the UK is 8 tons. Further research funded by the UN found that people who cycled in cities had better general health, better mental health, greater vitality, lower self-perceived stress, and fewer feelings of loneliness. Across all Arsenal sites, staff are using the increase in cycle-friendly paths and lanes to get pedalling. It is a great opportunity to be able to help the planet and ourselves by making the small change just once a week. But even if cycling isn't for you, the second most beneficial transport mode, walking, was associated with good general health, greater vitality, and more contact with friends and family. So using the bike to commute, or walking, helps your health and the environment. It's a win-win. Grow your own. Carbon Link has already received lots of orders for trees from supporters wishing to add to the Arsenal Forest. More than 19,000 are now being planted. Thanks for getting involved. We want to expand our 12.5-acre area to make our forest as big as possible. There are three options to purchase trees. 25 for £25, 50 for £50, 100 for £100. If you are concerned about your own carbon footprint, this is an excellent way of making a small, sustainable step in the right direction, and also doing it in the name of the club you love. And what a unique gift for an Arsenal fan in your life. Scan the QR code on the programme for more information on our project and details of how to be part of our forest. Net Zero Heroes. Every programme we hear how a member of the Arsenal women's squad is thinking about sustainability. This issue we hear from a player whose rise to sporting stardom has been rocket-fuelled recently. But Beth Mead tells us that her preferred mode of transport most definitely is not. "I've recently bought a Tesla," says the leading scorer and player of the tournament at this summer's European Championships. "Having an electric car means that I'm comfortable in the knowledge that I'm not personally responsible for any carbon emissions into the environment. And this was a big reason why I decided to opt for an electric car. Not paying for petrol or diesel will ultimately save money too." Fantastic, Beth. Showing the way for club and country on the road as well as on the pitch. What do you do? Whether your match day is at the Emirates, going to every away game, watching at your local pub or waking up on the other side of the world in the middle of the night and stumbling down to your sofa, we want to hear how you've made match day more sustainable. If we feature your story in the programme, we will plant 25 trees in our Arsenal Forest for you, with a certificate and GPS of your little bit of Arsenal in Africa. Kenyan Guna Oli Mbugua from Nairobi told us about his sustainability journey.
"My journey in sustainability came after watching a documentary about climate change and its potential disaster to Mother Earth. I thought to contribute in my own way, so I decided I would stop buying bottles of water anymore or canned drinks. Now when I go to my local pub to watch the Arsenal game, I arrive with my own water bottle, which has made a few people raise their eyebrows, but I have learned to live with the attention. More generally on my sustainability journey, I have also cut back on using plastics as a whole, so I have no more packed food in plastics or plastic bags, for example."
Well done, Ollie. Maybe taking your own bottle to the pub this season has brought us luck on the pitch. Keep it up.
Player feature. Inspirational Reece Nelson. We speak to our players about where they find their inspiration. After a season away on loan in the Dutch top flight with Feyenoord, Reece is ready to kick on with his Arsenal career, the club he's been at for 14 years, and he'll have his mother's words of support ringing in his ears as he does so. It's been more than 5 years since Reece Nelson made his Arsenal debut in the Community Shield win over Chelsea as a teenager back in 2017. Since then, the forward has enjoyed loan spells in Germany and the Netherlands and played 50 times for Arsenal's first team. But, most importantly, he says he's grown up, taking all these experiences to make him aware of the opportunity he now has at the club he's grown up at. "I'm 22. I made my debut when I was 17, and I feel I've learnt a lot since then," he begins. "When I was younger, I was maybe the cheeky chappy, very loud and just doing my own thing, which probably got me into trouble a bit. I wasn't really good with timekeeping and things that I should have been doing. I was doing what I wanted. I made my debut at 17 and was training with the first team at 15 and 16, so I felt like I had all the time in the world. But if I could give one bit of advice now, it's that time goes just like that. So any opportunity you do get, it's a basic thing, but live it and understand it to the full, because you never know how quickly your career can go." From being the wide-eyed youngster in the team,
Rhys is now in a position where he can pass on what he's learnt to those taking the same path as him. One of those is 15-year-old Ethan Nwaneri. The Hale-end youngster, an attacking midfielder like Rhys, has not only been training with the first team, but he's made his debut in September, becoming the youngest player in the club's history in the process. So, has Rhys had the opportunity to give any advice to the talented teenager yet? Yeah, I've spoken to him a little bit, and that's what I said to him. It happens very quickly when you look back. I understand how it is when you come over to the first team for the first time, and the coaches are explaining the drills. The older players might know what they are asking us to do because we've heard it before, but the newer players, it can be hard to pick up everything that was said. I listened to it all, but the coaches will say it once and you've got to pick it up straight away. I've been here a long time now, so I understand it. But even for me, a lot has changed while I was away on loan, so you've really got to take it all in. And whenever I have Ethan in my group, I try to tell him, bro, they are asking us to do this or that. It's things like that which can be difficult at first. But other than that, all I've said is to carry on doing what he's doing, enjoy every moment of it, because I want the best for him. At this point in the interview, Ethan walks past us in school uniform on his way to continue his education after a morning of training. It's so crazy, Rhys smiles. He's still at school, but I was in a similar position, so hopefully I can help him too. When I was first training with the first team, I remember being with people like the boss, who was coming towards the end of his playing career at the time. But I remember being in groups with Mikel Arteta, Per Mertesacker, Rosicky, all the experienced players, and they used to give me advice all the time. David Luiz was another who really helped me when I was younger. Lacazette was another, and I appreciated that a lot. Rhys finds inspiration and guidance whenever he looks in the current squad too, and none more so than a fellow Hale End graduate. For me, right now, the person I look at and think he's doing so well is Bukayo, he reveals. That's because of how young he is and how he just takes everything in his stride. For me, that's such a great thing to see. He's come through the academy, taken that route, and he's done it perfectly. I think people underestimate how young he is and what he's actually achieving. For me, Bukayo is an inspiration because any young player would want to be like him. But when it comes to finding inspiration off the pitch, Rhys doesn't have to look very far. The person who inspires me most is my mother, he states. For the upbringing she's had, then also when she had children of her own, she worked so hard, taking two jobs to look after us. But she made it seem like everything was normal and easy for us. But now I see in reality, it was so hard for her. She made everything seem so good. Showed us all the love, respect and everything you need to go on to be a nice human being. She made me into the man I am today, and she is still my inspiration, definitely. He says it's those values that were instilled into him from a young age that continue to shape his personality today, even more so as he grows up himself and can look back on all the sacrifices his mum made ever since he joined the Arsenal Academy aged 8 back in 2008. From when I started playing at Hale End, my mum was the one making sure I got to training each time, he says. Petrol is expensive, right? But my mum was working two jobs, and then my sister would drive me to training after school. We came from a background where the money wasn't there, so for her to drive me to the academy, an hour there, an hour back, three times a week, it was a big sacrifice. It all adds up, the money and the time. So now every chance I get to make her happy, I try to make the most of it. We are still very close, he adds. I live five doors down from her. I have had a few loan deals lately, so it was hard not to be able to see your family as much. But now I'm back, I make sure we see each other every single day. I like it when my whole family is together. That's when I'm happy. It was hard to see each other as much when I was in Holland last season, especially with COVID as well. But I saw my brother and my sister a lot, and my girlfriend was there often too, so I had people around me and supporting me over there. But life on loan is also about learning to cope without your family comforts, and being away from your family, Rhys readily admits, and he says his year in the Netherlands, playing for the rivals of tonight's visitors Feyenoord, has only added to his experience. Rees helped the side reach the final of the Europa Conference last season, but he says the life skills he learnt off the pitch are just as valuable. "I've done it before," he says, referring to his spell at Hoffenheim in 2018-19. "But this time felt different because of the pandemic, and I was on my own quite a lot. I did a lot for myself and learnt a lot about the local culture, how the Dutch live, and I love that side of it. Now I'm 22, I've had a couple of loans in Germany and in Holland, and I've learnt so much. I'm talking about people skills and learning about how the German people are diligent in their timing, for example, and I can say the same for the Dutch. Their discipline, their appearance, how they respect each other. I'm trying to take little bits from everyone I've met and build it into who I am. I come from a difficult neighbourhood where respect wasn't always taught, so learning from your surroundings and new cultures is only going to be good for me." On the pitch, it was a hugely worthwhile endeavour too. Rees played 32 times, scoring 4 goals, but perhaps the biggest takeaway for the former England under-21 man was the reinforcement of the old proverb, "Absence makes the heart grow fonder." Feyenoord is such a big club, an incredible club, and the fan base is up there as one of the best as well, Rees explains. "Experiencing Feyenoord versus Ajax at their ground was crazy, and I had a great time, but as soon as I came back through these gates at Arsenal after my loan, I don't know what it is, but I felt that love I have in my heart for Arsenal. I've always had that. People who have been at the club for a long time have that love, and I think it never leaves you. I don't know if it's because I know everyone here, from the security guards and the cleaners to Edu and everyone else, but it feels like my home. When you are away, you do not realise how much you will miss it, but when you come back, straight away you feel like you are home again." Now his focus is on restarting his Gunners career. His appearance against Bodo Glimt on the last match day in Norway was his 50th in all for the first team, but it's been more than 2 years since he started in the Premier League for the Gunners, an occasion he marked with a goal against Liverpool. He's now itching for more game time and to put all he's learnt in the past few years into practice. "I feel like everyone knows what I can do already, but I do feel like I want to get out there and play games again," he says. "I've played 50 times for Arsenal, but it hasn't been consistent. It's been over a period of 5 years, which is not what I wanted to achieve. I made my debut at 17, and of course I didn't expect to play every game straight away, but I really want to get into the rhythm of playing week in and week out. That's something that I dream of. That's my main goal for myself, and I feel if I can do that, then my abilities will come through. I want to stay injury-free and focus on the things I have to do." And once again, he looks to his mother for guidance and support at this potentially crucial period of his career. "What my mum has passed on to me is showing me that there is no progress without struggle," he adds. "Any situation you are in, she made it seem fine, and now sometimes when I look at myself and I'm not getting in the team or I'm on the bench, I need to look at how far I've come and make sure I take any opportunity I do get. When I think of other times when I've been discouraged, I always try to realise that I could be in a worse position. So I've learnt to take every step as it comes and remain thankful for everything I do have. Then, if I do get a chance to evolve, I have to take it. There are so many games coming up, and any time I get called up, I'll be ready. I'm used to playing in European football, I've done it for a long time, so I'm ready if it's in this competition too." And Rees admits there's an extra source of motivation and inspiration for him to hit the heights at Arsenal again, and it comes back to family. "For me now, I really want the young kids in the family to understand and get a feel for what I'm achieving and what I'm doing in my career," he states. "That's my nieces and nephews, where my sister brings them to the games. They are about 11 or 12, so they are at the age now where they understand what's happening, and I would love to give them the inspiration and show them that they can do anything they want to do. I want them to see me play and create memories in their heart that mean something to them. What my mum has passed on to me in terms of inspiration, I want to pass on to the next generation. That's what motivates me now." We'll be right back.
Community Voice. Project Arsenal Students Level 3 Sports Science and Coaching. Established 1985. Participants since starting over 1,000. Weekly participants 32. Sessions Monday to Friday. Academic timetable available to students 16 to 18 years. More information, Martin Davis. mdavis@arsenal.co.uk. Samantha is a 21-year-old from Hertfordshire who is part of our Level 3 Sports Science and Coaching sessions and has been on an amazing journey ever since. Initially, I'd seen an advertisement on Twitter about the course. At the time, I had enrolled into sixth form but was enjoying playing football and coaching. I wanted to take my next steps into football as I knew this would benefit me and my career aspirations. My cousin unfortunately took his own life around the summer I had applied, so I was battling with my mental health as well as trying to understand the loss we had as a family. For me, football was my escape and my happy place. I instantly felt accepted and welcomed as a proud member of the Arsenal family. I was involved in multiple coaching sessions, from coaching the Down syndrome sessions on a Monday to the amputee squad on a Thursday, to Pentonville Prison in the half term, and many sessions in between. I often worked with Luke Howard from the community team, who was a great mentor as a coach. 3 years on, I still keep in touch and head down to some sessions from time to time to volunteer. I also spoke to Rebecca in the club's communications team, as I was interested in working in the media. For me, she was an amazing inspiration. Arsenal changed my life. It was the start of my journey and opened my eyes to different careers that I could have in sport. While studying the BTEC, I met many staff members and learnt about their roles and how it not only benefited the club, but also how it benefited the community. I instantly saw the power of sport and how it changes lives, like mine. After leaving, I received a scholarship to study multimedia sports journalism at UCFB, where I have just graduated with a first-class honours. I have been fortunate enough to have worked for the FA for almost 2 years in their event operations team and UEFA for just over a year. Now I work full-time for the Rugby League World Cup as their partnership executive, which I thoroughly enjoy. It has come full circle for me. Arsenal was where the start of my journey began, and now in my full-time role, I will be back at the Emirates in November for the semi-final of the Rugby League World Cup. During my time at Arsenal, I started to write a book called We Are All Somebody, which is full of the voices of street-connected children from around the world, and 2 years on, it was released and sits proudly in Waterstones. Arsenal believed in me and saw my vision and drive. Because of the hope instilled in me from Arsenal, I have spoken at the Houses of Parliament, I have met Prince William, and have even been invited out to Doha in November for the World Cup by the British Council. Once a Red, always a Red. There are three photographs with this report. The two small ones have the captions, Samantha at a Down syndrome session, and handing Prince William a copy of We Are All Somebody. The large photograph has the caption, and now back at Emirates with an exciting role at the Rugby League World Cup.
Minute detail. Since the start of the Premier League in 1992-93, Arsenal have scored more than 2,000 goals. In this series, we choose one memorable goal per minute. Today, we are looking at three more, starting with one of the very best seen here at the Emirates. Jack Wilshere, Arsenal 4-1 Norwich, October 19th, 2013. Voted BBC Match of the Day Goal of the Season for 2013 and surely one of the most memorable goals ever scored at Emirates Stadium, it's often described as peak Wenger ball. Santi Cazorla and Jack Wilshere played a quick 1-2 outside the area before Cazorla passed first time to Olivier Giroud. He in turn played a first time 1-2 with Wilshere, flicking the ball through to the midfielder and taking out four defenders in the process. Wilshere then cushioned the ball home on the volley, with the Norwich defence static, unable to even react to the speed of the move. It sounds mad and people don't believe me, but that used to happen all the time in training, Wilshere said. That is Arsene Wenger. That's the way he wanted to play, quick passing like that, and we worked on it loads. I didn't realise how good the goal was when I scored it, but Giroud ran over and said that was special. Then I saw the replay on the big screens. The Emirates crowd gasped in unison as well when it was replayed in the stadium, aware they had just witnessed something truly special. Alexis Sanchez, Arsenal 3-0 Manchester United, October 4th, 2015. The Gunners ripped into United from the off on this October afternoon, and this strike from Alexis Sanchez after 19 minutes made it 3-0 to Arsene Wenger's rampant team. The Chilean had already scored an excellent back-flicked effort from Mesut Ozil's cross after only 6 minutes. Ozil himself doubled the lead a minute later before his pearler put the Emirates crowd in dreamland. Theo Walcott found Alexis. He powered his way past one challenge, then let rip with his right foot from the edge of the area, flashing his shot beyond David De Gea into the top corner. It was hit with such power that the ball was already in the net with the keeper still grasping at thin air. Emmanuel Eboué, Blackpool, 1-3 Arsenal, April 10th, 2011. A game made more famous for Jens Lehmann breaking the record as our oldest ever Premier League player. Aged 41, defender Emmanuel Eboué was never one to be overshadowed. The effervescent Ivorian didn't score many goals in an Arsenal shirt, 10 in 214 games, but this one put the seal on an excellent move at Bloomfield Road late in the 2010-11 season. Abu Dhabi had already given us an early lead before Eboué doubled the advantage in the 20th minute. Arsenal was stroking the ball around effortlessly, and the move for the second was a neat 1-2 between Jack Wilshere and the overlapping Eboué on the right flank. Once in the area, he acted like a centre-forward, slamming his powerful left-foot shot into the net and putting the Gunners well on the way to 3 points.
Young Gun, Josh Nichols, The Basic, born Plaistow, July 26, 2006. Joined Arsenal, 30th of March 2016. Height and weight, 5 foot 7 inches, 56 kilograms. Position, right back stroke left back. Boots, Adidas X. School, Harris Academy, Riverside, Purfleet. Squad number, 107. Rate yourself out of 100. Pace, 90. Dribbling, 85. Passing, 82. Shooting, 80. Defending, 93. Physical, 75. Interview, Samuel Gilbert. Photography, David Price. The past. Favourite Arsenal player of all time, Ashley Cole. Earliest Arsenal memory, first getting signed. Favourite goal I've ever scored, header against Mönchengladbach. A football memory that makes me smile, winning a semi-final against Atletico. Moment I realised I could make it, the first time I touched a ball. One piece of advice I would give my younger self, never take a day off. Best subject in school, media studies. First player who made me fall in love with football, Lionel Messi. My position growing up, striker. Coach who has impacted my game most, Adam Birchall. My earliest footballing memories are playing for my first Sunday league team, Euro Dagenham, for a year or two. We actually went unbeaten one season and got ourselves in the local newspapers because of it. I can't remember how many matches exactly we went unbeaten, but we were invincibles too. When I wasn't playing Sunday League, I would practice at my local park with my dad. He loves football. He used to play football, and he's been coaching me all my life. I always used to play street football with one of my best friends too, Blaze, who plays for West Ham's under-18s now. We used to love playing together. He's doing really well for himself, and we still keep in touch today. I actually used to play as a striker when I was growing up, and it wasn't until under-14s that I moved from striker to fullback. When I joined my first academy, West Ham, I was still a striker. I scored quite a few goals. But on my decision day, I was told that I was too small, so I wouldn't be playing with them. I joined Chelsea at pre-academy level and was there for the under-8 season. I actually got offered a contract with them, but because it was too far from Dagenham and I was too young for digs, we had to look for another club. I ended up at the rivals, Tottenham. I was training with their academy, but then the opportunity came up to go and have a trial at Arsenal, the team that my dad and I support, so I couldn't turn that down. I finished my trial at Hale End, but didn't get offered a contract the first time, so I ended back at Tottenham. They actually offered me a contract, but then I got a call from a scout called Sean O'Connor, who said that Arsenal wanted me back for another trial. I worked hard and finally got signed. When I got the second call, my family and I had a big decision to make. We weren't sure whether to sign with Tottenham or to risk it and go back on trial at Arsenal. But because I love Arsenal and my parents were positive that I had the ability to get signed, we took that leap of faith and luckily it paid off. I couldn't believe it when Arsenal signed me at the start of the under-9 season. I was jumping everywhere. My parents were really happy and proud of me. All my friends and extended family were calling me to say well done. To sign for the team I support was absolutely amazing. I was speechless when I first walked into Hale End. There's actually a video that my mum has when I just couldn't believe I was there. I was very nervous, of course, but I knew I had to prove myself and worked hard to do it. I still remember my first ever tour with the team, to Belgium, not long after I signed. We were still so young, I don't think we were playing tactically, we were just running around the pitch. I didn't even have all of my kit for the tour. I loved getting to know all the staff and my teammates at Hale End. Luis Brown has been there from the start with me. Then Miles Lewis-Skelly and Ethan Nwaneri joined us slightly later too. I'm really close with all of my teammates and we get on really well. But those three especially are like family to me. We've grown up together, and I've known them most of my life, and I can speak to them about anything. The day I got offered my scholarship at Arsenal was amazing. I couldn't believe it. I was injured for pretty much the entire under-15 season because of growing pains. I think I only played one match, so I really thought I wasn't going to get my scholarship. When Pear came into the meeting, it originally sounded as though it was going to be bad news. But when he told me I had earned my scholarship and I fully deserved it, I couldn't believe it. There's actually a video of me running out of the house and screaming down the street. Last year was a pretty interesting one for all of us, because we had the cameras following us around for the Inside Hale End documentary. It was strange at first, because normally it's just the first team that get recorded. It was scary to begin with, because you know that you're representing Arsenal on camera. But for the cameras to be there while we're going through our journey in our final year at Hale End was amazing in the end. London Colney is a big step up from Hale End, and I've been picking the brains of my coaches to make sure I'm improving in every area. Specifically, I've been working on the attacking side of my game with Jack Wilshere and Adam Birchall. They've been helping me choose my moments better of when to go up the pitch and then getting back into position to defend. Adam has been my coach for 4 or 5 years, and he's been a massive influence on my career. To have Jack and Adam this season has been brilliant. They work very well together, and it's just two extremely talented football brains coming together and making the team grow. I have to say, Jack is one of my favourite coaches. The way he's always there for you, he will tell you if you're doing something wrong, and he's always willing to help you. He's inspirational too, because he's walked the same path that we're on now, and he's played on the biggest stages. One thing I've been asked to do a lot is tucking inside as a fullback, just as Mikel Arteta has his defenders do in the first team. I feel like it's been very effective for us this season, and as I've been coached to play that way since under 16 level, it's been built into my game. I want to play for the first team, so obviously this is what I want to do and need to do. So I just had to keep getting better at it. Talking of the first team, all the former Hale End graduates at the club are so inspirational. I remember being at Hale End going on tour to America. We were sitting next to Bukayo. He was chatting to us. We were watching him play. Eddie too. And they're just big characters, motivational, and every day we watch them. We see what they can do, and we need to learn from them. We're always brushing shoulders with them at Colney. They stop and say hello, and they're great with us and very humble. While I haven't been called up for England yet, if I am able to achieve that, that would be an amazing feeling, as it's a real goal of mine, and I would be really proud of myself. By the end of the season, I will be 17, so hopefully I will get offered that pro contract. This is something I really want to achieve before the end of the season. The present. My best attribute on the field. Slide tackling. One thing I'm doing to improve my education. Revision on things I don't understand. Favourite current Arsenal players. Gabriel Jesus and Bukayo Saka. Favourite YouTuber. Is show speed. Hardest working teammate. Alexi Rogers. Most skillful teammate. This is hard. Probably Osman Kamara. Favourite training drill. Three-touch small-sided games. Favourite music artist. Lil Baby. Strong young gunners are sustainable gunners. Tell us one thing you're doing to help the environment. Reduce the amount of Ubers I take so I reduce carbon emissions. The future. A player who could go all the way. Miles Lewis Skelly. If I could play with anyone, Neymar. I will be happy with my career if I play in the Premier League. I want to make a difference by keeping clean sheets in defence. One thing I want to add to my game. Become better attacking from full-back. If I could play in any other country, France. One person I want to meet, Pelé. One trophy I would love to win, Champions League. Dream first team squad number 2.
Arsenal women. Stina secures perfect start. We maintained our perfect start to the Women's Super League season on Sunday as we defeated Reading 1-0 at the Select Car Leasing Stadium. Coming in off the back of the international break with only 2 days of preparation, Jonas Eidevall's side dug deep and delivered a controlled team performance despite missing key defenders Leah Williamson and Raphael Souza through injury. We started strongly on the night and had a golden opportunity to open the scoring inside 30 seconds as Stina Blackstenius raced behind the Reading defence and saw her curling effort palmed away. Chances for Beth Mead and Laura Weinreuther followed, with the latter coming agonisingly close from inside the six-yard area, firing just wide at full stretch before the lively Blackstenius gave us a deserved lead on the half-hour mark. The Sweden international typically picks up her goals inside the penalty area, but this time she tried her luck from distance and powered home into the bottom left corner. That was all for the first half, and shortly after the restart, Blackstenius was causing yet more havoc, hitting the post twice in quick succession from two wide deliveries. We were awarded a penalty on the hour mark following a handball from Mead's cross, but our captain, Kim Little, who is usually so reliable from 12 yards, saw her low effort well saved by Jacqueline Burns. A triple change took place shortly after, with Jordan Nobbs, Lena Hurtig and Frieda Manum coming into play, and late on, the latter made a vital block on the goal line to clear away a Reading header. Blackstenius had another chance to double our lead with just 5 minutes remaining, breaking free down the left wing and firing just wide, but in the end, her opening goal was enough to secure all 3 points in a difficult game on the road. World Cup call for trio. It was a historic moment for Katie McCabe last week as she starred in Republic of Ireland's 1-0 victory over Scotland at Hampden Park as the girls in green qualified for the World Cup for the first time in their history. Former gunner Caroline Vere saw a penalty saved for the home side at Hampden Park, and the Irish made them pay when Amber Barrett slotted home on 72 minutes. Jen Beattie made a late substitute appearance for the Scots, and despite their relentless pressure on the Irish goal, they failed to make a breakthrough and now miss out on a place at the World Cup finals. "I can't actually believe it," McCabe said to the BBC after the game. "It doesn't feel real. It's not sunk in yet. I'm just so proud of the girls. We put our bodies on the line. We worked for each other. We ran for each other. That's what this team is all about." Over in Zurich, Switzerland scored a dramatic winner in extra time to beat Wales and secure their place at next year's World Cup. Skipper Lia Valti played the full 120 minutes and Noël Maritz provided the assist for Ramona Bachmann's equaliser. These playoff results mean that as many as 16 gunners could be headed to Australia and New Zealand for the World Cup action next summer, dependent on team selection. Caitlin keeps scoring. Caitlin Ford continued a superb run of form as she netted 2 goals in Australia's friendly against Denmark. The Maltesers came from behind to win 3-1 after the Danes scored after only 47 seconds. Ahead of the game, Australian coach Tony Gustafsson praised the winning combination of Ford and Steph Catley, fostered during their years together at Arsenal.
"When you see them play together at Arsenal and the job that Jonas and the club have done with them, it is just about bringing that back here and saying copy and paste."
Also in friendly action at Brighton's Amex Stadium, England were held to a frustrating 0-0 draw by the Czech Republic. Lionesses boss Serena Weichmann brought on Beth Mead at half-time to attempt to revitalise the English attack, and though she continued to threaten down the left wing, Mead and England were unable to break the deadlock. The last time England failed to score was in February during their 0-0 draw with Spain in the Arnold Clark Cup. Ever since she took charge in 2021, Weichmann has yet to lose a game as England manager. Elsewhere, both Lina Hurtig and Stina Blackstenius featured in Sweden's front line as the side put 3 past France. Frida Mannum came off the subs bench for Norway as they beat the Netherlands 2-0. 2022-23 fixtures and results. 16th September, Brighton and Hove Albion, home, Women's Super League, 4-0. 20th September, Ajax, home, UCL, 2-2. 24 September, Tottenham Hotspur, WSL, 4-0. 28 September, Ajax, UCL, 1-0. 16 October, Reading, WSL, 1-0. 19 October, Lyon, UCL. 23 October, Liverpool, Women's Super League. 27 October, FC Zurich, UCL, home. 30 October, West Ham United, Women's Super League, home. 6 November, Leicester City, Women's Super League. 20 November, Manchester United, Women's Super League, home. 24 November, Juventus, UCL. 3 December, Everton, Women's Super League, home. 7 December, Juventus, UCL, home. 10 December, Aston Villa, Women's Super League. 15 December, Lyon, UCL, home. 21st December, FC Zurich, UCL. 15th January, Chelsea, Women's Super League, home. 22nd January, Brighton and Hove Albion, Women's Super League. 5th February, West Ham United, Women's Super League. 12th February, Manchester City, Women's Super League. 5th March, Liverpool, Women's Super League, home. 12th March, Reading, Women's Super League, home. 26th March, Tottenham Hotspur, Women's Super League. 2nd April, Manchester City, Women's Super League, home. 23rd April, Manchester United, Women's Super League. 30th April, Everton, Women's Super League. 7th May, Leicester City, Women's Super League, home. 21st May, Chelsea, Women's Super League. 28th May, Aston Villa, Women's Super League, home.
Inside Job, Callum Denny. Each programme we catch up with a member of staff to find out more about what makes the club tick behind the scenes. This evening, we hear from Callum Denning, who is in his third season as Arsenal's live producer. Callum gives us a unique insight into match day within the club's new studio and tells us about a talented group of presenters in front of the camera. My job as live producer focuses heavily on putting our online match day show together. I've always loved broadcast media, and I've freelanced in the industry since I was 18. I studied radio at university and TV and radio at college, and when I left uni, I worked for LBC Radio and at Birmingham City too, where I looked after live shows. I remember seeing a live producer role advertised at Arsenal, and I was immediately drawn to it. I was working for LBC when I received the call telling me I'd got the job. I'd just gone to a 15-minute feature, so was able to leave the studio briefly and answer the phone. It was a really proud feeling. I had to go back and do the rest of the show with a massive grin on my face. I joined the club at the tail end of the 2020-21 season. The match day show at that point was put together remotely because of COVID. We returned to Emirates Stadium for the following campaign and went back to the pre-COVID format of recording the show in our green screen studio inside the stadium. For me, it didn't really feel as though we were at the stadium. There was a bit of a detachment. This season, the key thing for us is feeding into the matchday experience. A lot of our viewers don't have the chance to visit the Emirates. They'll often be watching from all over the world, and we're really trying to bridge that gap and make them feel part of it. As a result, we've moved the studio into daylight. We're now based in the clock end, in the My Arsenal Rewards box. The audience can see the crowd building in the background, allowing them to get a sense of that anticipation and hum as kickoff draws closer. We've amplified that further by bringing in a live studio audience. That helps create an atmosphere for our viewers. Another way we're bridging the divide for international supporters is through featuring them on the show and turning the spotlight their way. We have a feature focusing on a day in the life of an international supporter, which we kicked off with Tiffany from Arsenal America. Showing the commitment that international Gunners have for the team works on a few different levels. It demonstrates to other fans tuning in from around the world that there are people who go through the same matchday routine as them, and it educates UK-based fans as to the size of the Arsenal. It's an absolute pleasure working with our on-screen talent, Nick Bright, Nicole Holliday, and Adrian Clark. Nick is a very accomplished broadcaster. He's worked on BBC Radio 1 Extra and 5 Live for years and loves the Arsenal. He's a pro and is really relatable to the audience. He's a natural choice as host. It's the same with Nicole. She has a similar personality, is very engaging, and is really knowledgeable about all things Arsenal too. As a former pro himself, Adrian is able to offer a unique degree of insight. He has an incredible statistical mind. He's played in the Premier League and knows the game from back to front. What he doesn't know about football isn't worth knowing. Adrian provides the analytical side of our coverage, which we find dovetails nicely with Nick and Nicole, who give us that fan perspective. That dynamic is a massive part of the show. We try to ensure the show is as interactive and engaging for every Arsenal supporter watching, regardless of where in the world they tune in from. When I come in on a Monday, I'll have a rough idea of what we're going to discuss on the show and then start to formulate a plan for how it's going to run. We'll usually start the show with some reflection on the previous result before turning the attention to the opposition. I'll spend a large portion of the week burying my head in stats, pulling out interesting facts about the opposing team. Once we have those statistics, I set about translating the numbers in a visual and digestible fashion for the viewer. I'll cut videos and put graphics together too. It's pretty full on. The show has changed a lot this season, and a big part of it now is finding guests. I often reach out to other departments to find out if anyone of note is going to be around on a match day, and, if they are, how we can maximise any time we get with them. We had Chunks at the first home game of the season, and then Jake Paul for the following one. The tone of the show changes depending on the opposition. There are games where you come in feeling full of confidence, which will be reflected in the pre-match chat. We'll discuss how Arsenal can exploit the opposition's weaknesses and really get at them. But then, for those matches where you are playing other top-level teams in the Premier League or Europe, we'll highlight key players in our defence who will have to be at their best to help the team get a result. You need to make sure the tone of voice is right and provide the audience with what they want. If you've just lost a couple of games in a row, fans won't necessarily want to hear you cracking loads of jokes. But when things are going well, you can have a lot of fun. William Saliba's chant was born at the Bournemouth game at the start of the season, and at half-time, we just had Nick singing it for about 5 minutes. It's all about getting the tone right. You absolutely don't want to look out of touch. I'm loving life at Arsenal, and I found it to be a really enjoyable place to work. The club makes you feel valued, and I'm lucky enough to have a lot of very talented colleagues who make every day a joy. There are three photographs with this report. The one at the head of the report has the caption, "Callum's now in his third season at the club." The next has the caption, "Nick and Adrian speak to Katie and Kim in the studio." And the last has the caption, "Callum with a brilliant studio backdrop created by artist Daryl Rainbow."
Visitors, PSV Eindhoven. One of the most recognisable names in European football, PSV Eindhoven are making their record equalling with Lazio, 10th appearance in the UEFA Europa League group stage. This is also the Dutch club's 49th successive season in Europe, during which they've lifted two pieces of continental silverware, the UEFA Cup, forerunner to the Europa League, in 1978, and the European Cup, which they won on penalties after a goalless final against Benfica 10 years later. Backed by the Philips Electrical Company, PSV are one of the established big three in the Netherlands, alongside Ajax of Amsterdam and Feyenoord of Rotterdam. They've both won the Dutch Eredivisie title 24 times, most recently in 2017-2018, and claimed their 10th domestic cup, the KNVB Beker, last April, beating Ajax 2-1 in the final. That win came just 3 days after their 18-match 2021-22 European Odyssey had come to an end, with UEFA Europa Conference League elimination by Leicester City, 0-0 away, 1-2 home. PSV competed in all three European club competitions last season, 6 games in each. But they will want to avoid an encore in 2022-23 as they bid to finish in the top two of Europa League Group A. They would have preferred, of course, to be making their 17th appearance in the Champions League group stage, but that objective passed them by when they lost last month's qualifying playoff to Rangers, losing 1-0 at home after a 2-2 draw at Ibrox. PSV are under new management this season, Benfica-bound German boss Roger Schmidt having been replaced by club-playing icon Ruud van Nistelrooy. While the defeat at Rangers, which came after an epic extra-time third qualifying round win against Monaco, was a major blow to his and the club's ambitions for the season. Solace will be sought in the Europa League, as well as the Eredivisie, where PSV will be eager to end Ajax's 4-year reign. Van Nistelrooy's men began the domestic season impressively, beating Ajax 5-3 in Amsterdam in the Dutch Super Cup, and winning their opening 4 league games while scoring a remarkable 22 goals. They remain in the mix despite the odd setbacks since, and are also on course for Europa League qualification, having done an impressive double over FC Zurich, winning 5-1 away and 5-0 at home last week. Undefeated in their last six European away games, including draws at Leicester and Rangers, PSV should provide a stiff test for Arsenal this evening. Ruud van Nistelrooy, manager. Born July 1, 1976, in Geffen, Netherlands. Previously, Netherlands assistant, 2014-15, 2019-22, PSV youth, 2021-22. A man who needs no introduction in these parts. Ruud was a Manchester United player from 2001 to 2006, scoring 150 goals in 219 games for the club in all competitions. Though he's probably best remembered by Gunners fans for missing a certain penalty in the last minute of a certain goalless draw at Old Trafford in September 2003 that played a significant part in the Invincibles season. A lethal striker who topped the Champions League goal charts three times, he also scored 35 goals in 70 games for the Netherlands, for whom he twice served as assistant before taking his first head coach role at PSV this summer. 1. Wearing the gloves, Walter Benitez, goalkeeper. Born General José de San Martín, Argentina, 19th of the 1st, 93. Previously, Quilmes, Nice. Signed this summer by PSV on a five-year contract after six seasons in France with Nice, for whom he made 167 League One appearances, the Argentina goalkeeper has replaced Joel Drommel as the club's first choice. Nice's Player of the Year in 2018-2019, Benitez is capable of spectacular saves, as he's shown repeatedly in recent weeks, but he committed an uncharacteristic error to concede a free kick from Rangers' Tom Lawrence in the first leg of the Champions League playoff. 23. The midfield dynamo, Joey Veerman. Midfield. Born, Purmerend, Netherlands, 19th of the 11th, 98. Previously, Volendam, Heerenveen. Recruited from Heerenveen in January on a 4.5-year contract, Veerman has quickly established himself as a mainstay in the PSV midfield. He enjoyed a particularly fruitful August, scoring four goals, two in the Eredivisie, against Go Ahead Eagles and Excelsior, and one in each leg of the Champions League qualifying win against Monaco. Energetic and industrious, the 23-year-old hails from the North Holland region and began his career in the Dutch second tier with local club Volendam. 3. The rising star, Jordan Taizé. Defender. Born, Groningen, Netherlands. 30th of the 9th, 99. Previously, none. A versatile defender who can operate at right-back or centre-back, the 23-year-old is seen as a star of the near future for both PSV and the Dutch national side, for whom he made his debut in Cardiff in June in a 2-1 Nations League victory. A graduate of the club's academy, Taizé began the season as a regular starter for new boss Ruud van Nistelrooy, ahead of experienced Brazilian André Ramalho, having signed a new 3-year contract extension in May. 4. The linchpin, Armando Obispo, defender. Born, S-Hertogenbosch, Netherlands, 5th of the 3rd, 99. Previously, Vitesse. Another young defender who's come up through the youth ranks at PSV, Obispo is a solid left-sided centre-back who's found favour with new boss Van Nistelrooy this season, becoming the cornerstone of the team's back four. Big and strong, he headed in an equaliser against Rangers at Ibrox, and last month scored a dramatic late winner in a 4-3 victory against Feyenoord. A Netherlands youth and under-21 international, the 23-year-old was born in the Netherlands but has roots in Curaçao. 6. The driving force, Ibrahim Sangare, midfielder. Born, Kumasi, Ivory Coast, 2nd of the 12th, 97. Previously, Toulouse. Now in his third season at PSV, the powerful Ivory Coast international signed a new contract in the summer, despite considerable interest from several top European clubs. An athletic box-to-box midfielder of seemingly unexpendable energy, Sangare was the main man in the PSV midfield under previous head coach Roger Schmidt, and continues to dominate in that area under Ruud van Nistelrooy. He made his name in League One with Toulouse, leaving for PSV after the club's relegation in 2020. 7. The young gun, Xavi Simons, midfielder. Born, Amsterdam, Netherlands, 21st of the 4th, 03. Previously, Volendam, Heerenveen. The tricky diminutive Netherlands youth international, Simons came through the academy at Barcelona before making his first team debut at 17 with Paris Saint-Germain. With places in the PSG first 11 at a premium, the 19-year-old opted to return to his native Netherlands this summer and sign a 5-year deal with PSV. He scored on his debut in the Dutch Super Cup against Ajax and netted doubles in 3 successive Eredivisie games in August, before opening his European account in the 5-1 win at FC Zurich. 11. The Danger Man. Cody Gakpo, forward. Born, Eindhoven, Netherlands, 7/5/99. Previously, none. The superstar in the PSV ranks, Gakpo was linked to Manchester United during the summer, but chose to remain with his hometown club, where he's come up through the club's youth ranks to become one of the Eredivisie's leading attractions. Fast, skillful, elusive, and a prolific scorer this season, reaching double figures in early October, the winger is also an increasingly prominent figure for the Netherlands national side. A squad member at Euro 2020, he now has 9 caps and 3 goals and appears World Cup bound. 31. The Sweet Left Peg. Philipp Max, defender. Born, Viersen, Germany, 30/9/93. Previously, Schalke, Karlsruhe, Augsburg. A PSV player since September 2020, Max was a silver medalist for Germany at the 2016 Rio Olympics and won the first of his 3 senior caps shortly after his arrival in Eindhoven, where he's established himself both at left-back and as a useful set-piece taker, accumulating 17 European appearances for the club last season. He started his career with Schalke, but it was at Augsburg where he made his name as a Bundesliga stalwart, scoring 15 goals in 145 games before leaving for PSV. Scouting report. Words, Michael Cox. Photography, Getty Images. Arsenal had some memorable clashes against Ruud van Nistelrooy back in his playing days at Manchester United, and 16 years after leaving English football, he's back in charge of PSV. After spells as an assistant for the Netherlands national side and in charge of PSV's youth ranks, van Nistelrooy has been given his first full coaching job at the age of 46. Van Nistelrooy has used both 4-3-3 and 4-2-3-1 systems so far, and in either system, PSV play with great width and put lots of crosses into the box. With talisman Luke de Jong out injured recently, van Nistelrooy used Belgian youngster Jorbe Vertessen up front for the trip to FC Zurich, and he responded with his first 2 goals of the campaign. He could be in line to start here. Alternatively, however, van Nistelrooy has sometimes used 4-3-3 with Xavi Simons, a young Dutch player who spent his formative years in the Barcelona and PSG academies, as something of a false nine. Considering van Nistelrooy's style in his playing days, you expect him to love old-school penalty box strikers, but he's shown the flexibility to play without one. That said, it's more likely that Simons will operate in the number 10 role behind Vertessen. Arguably the real star of the show, however, is left-winger Cody Gakpo, who started the campaign in superb goal-scoring form, hitting his first senior hat-trick in a 7-1 win over Volendam, and scoring at a rate of a goal a game so far in 2022-23. On his day, he feels unstoppable when charging inside to finish with his right foot. Johan Bakayoko may complete the attacking section of the side, offering speed from the right flank. In midfield, the holding role is likely to be played by Ibrahim Sangare, an all-action player capable of aggressive ball-winning and careful passes into attack. Eric Gutierrez would be a solid option alongside him, while Goose Till offers forward running and Joey Veerman offers imaginative passing. Expect PSV's midfield to remain cautious with their positioning. Defensively, Armando Obispo is an aerially dominant centre-back and dangerous at attacking set pieces, with Jordan Taizé able to play alongside him, offering more speed, although at times he's played at right-back, offering great crossing ability. But appropriately enough for a club whose name is Philips, Sport Vereniging, they could use 2 on either side of the defence, Philip Mwene on the right, Philip Max on the left. Van Nistelrooy has chopped and changed in defence, and at times his back line has seemed particularly leaky, conceding 3 to both Feyenoord and Camber, although one was a 4-3 win and the other a 3-0 defeat. Goalkeeper Walter Benitez is the only ever-present so far this season, although he made a couple of errors in PSV's Champions League qualifying defeat to Rangers. first failing to keep out a tame long-range Tom Lawrence free kick, then playing out dangerously in the second half and conceding as Rangers pressed high. Potent PSV. Only compatriots Feyenoord, 12, have scored more goals than PSV in the Europa League group stage, who've registered 11 from 3 games, and with 2 of Feyenoord's goals coming from the penalty spot, PSV can claim to have scored the most goals from open play in the competition so far.
Around the academy. Ali, we gave everything. Mehmet Ali's under-21 side extended their unbeaten streak in the Premier League 2 to 8 matches after a 0-0 draw with Tottenham in the North London derby on Saturday, October 8th. Forwards Nathan Butler-Oyeji and Amario Kozier-Duvary both came close to giving us a first-half lead, while Matt Smith also sent a free kick wide of the post just before the break. We failed to take advantage of our first-half dominance, and Tottenham came on strongly after the interval, forcing Hubert Grzycki into a string of impressive stops to keep the scores level. The hosts finished the match with 9 men, after Jamie Donnelly was shown a straight red card for a late challenge on Charles Sago Jr. deep into stoppage time, before the subsequent altercation between both sets of players resulted in a second yellow for Callum Kessie. After the match, Ali confessed that the overriding emotion in the dressing room was one of frustration, but the manager remained keen to highlight the positives in the performance. "These boys are winners, and they want to win every single game," he said. "They're frustrated that we didn't win, but at the same time, we didn't lose. We stay unbeaten, and they gave everything today. I just said to them that I'm proud of them because every single one of them, their application and focus for 90 minutes was very, very good. That's the foundation, that's the minimum we expect, and now we need to keep building on that so we can dominate games for 90 minutes and not just 45 minutes. Bandiera, a fire sparks inside you against Tottenham. Mauro Bandiera, 18, has been an ever-present for Mehmet Ali's under-21 side this season, and impressed once again in the North London derby draw to Tottenham. Alongside Matt Smith in midfield, Bandiera has been playing a more advanced role under Ali this season and emerged as a star performer, scoring his first goal at this level in the 3-1 Premier League Cup win over Burnley on Friday, September 23rd. After the draw with our North London rivals, Bandiera, who is no stranger to a North London derby, revealed how his mindset in the week differs when he knows it's our local rivals on the horizon. "Right from when you're in Hale End and you hear it's Tottenham, a little fire sparks inside you," he said. "We even had David Seaman come into London Colney during the week and give us a talk about what the North London derby means to the club and the supporters. We all have those emotions inside us. And it was amazing to know that no matter how far you go in football, this fixture still means the same to everyone." To hear David talk with the same passion about the fixture as he did when he was playing definitely gave us an extra boost going into this one. Ibrahim and Edwards travel to Norway. Keon Edwards and Bradley Ibrahim earned their first call-ups for the first team squad when Mikel Arteta's team played Bodo Glimt in Norway last Thursday. Neither 19-year-old striker Keon or midfielder Bradley, who is 17, got off the substitutes bench. But it was still a very special next step in the pair's development. The lads saw academy graduate Bukayo Saka score the only goal of the game. Bukayo played in an all-academy front three, with Reece Nelson and Eddie Nketiah. Wiltshire, we're getting better and better. Jack Wilshere's under-18 side picked up their first points in the Premier League Cup with a 1-0 win over Aston Villa on Saturday, October 8th. Wilshere's young charges made it 3 matches unbeaten at London Colney, with Seb Ferdinand scoring the game's only goal inside 15 minutes after some good link-up play from Lewis Brown and Ishmael Ulad-Mahand. Maldini Kakuri's goal-line clearance denied the visitors an equaliser against the run of play, before substitute Omari Benjamin marked his return from injury with a driving run into the box to earn us a penalty in the closing stages. Ferdinand stepped up, hoping to secure his brace, but fired against the post as we held out to secure all 3 points at London Colney. After the match, Wilshere praised the application of Ferdinand in training and revealed how he and his coaching staff have challenged the 16-year-old to deliver more end product. "Seb is just getting better and better," he said. "He works hard in training. He's always out there. He's always willing to learn. And when you have a player like that with that hunger and desire to get better, he's a joy to work with. We've challenged him to start scoring more, start assisting more, and getting in better positions. I said to him after the game that I wanted him to realise how good he is, because sometimes I think that can make the difference." Academy fixtures and tables. Home matches played: Meadow Park, Boreham Wood FC, 7 p.m. kickoff, unless stated. Academy fixtures and tables. Premier League 2, under 21. Saturday, August 6th, Manchester United, 3-1. Friday, August 12th, West Ham United, 3-2. Saturday, August 20th, Chelsea, 4-1. Friday, August 26th, Brighton and Hove Albion, 2-2. Saturday, September 3rd, Blackburn Rovers, 4-1. Saturday, September 17th, Wolves, 1-1. Saturday, October 1st, Liverpool, 1-1. Saturday, October 8th, Tottenham Hotspur, 0-0. Monday, October 24th, Leicester City, away. Monday, October 31st, Crystal Palace, home. Sunday, November 6th, Everton, 1 p.m, home. Sunday, January 8th, Manchester City, 2 p.m, away. Friday, January 13th, Leicester City, home. Sunday, January 22nd, Blackburn Rovers, 1 p.m, away. Friday, January 27th, Tottenham Hotspur, home. Monday, February 13th, Wolves, away. Friday, February 17th, West Ham United, home. Friday, February 24th, Chelsea, away. Friday, March 3rd, Liverpool, home. Friday, March 17th, Crystal Palace, away. Friday, March 31st, Manchester United, away. Friday, April 14th, Brighton and Hove Albion, home. Friday, April 21st, Fulham, home. Friday, April 28th, Everton, away. Friday, May 6th, Manchester City, 1 p.m, home. To be arranged, Fulham, away. Premier League Cup, under 21. Wednesday, August 17th, Swansea City, 2-1. Friday, September 23rd, Burnley, 3-1. Saturday, November 19th, Stoke City, 1 p.m, home. Saturday, November 26th, Swansea City, 2 p.m, away. Friday, December 9th, Burnley, home. Sunday, December 18th, Stoke City, 3 p.m, away. Papa John's Trophy, under 21. Tuesday, August 30th, Cambridge United, 2-0. Tuesday, September 20th, Ipswich Town, 0-2. Tuesday, October 18th, Northampton Town, 7 p.m, away. Premier League International Cup, under 21. Tuesday, September 6th, Feyenoord, 1-1. Tuesday, November 15th, Monaco, 7 p.m, home. Tuesday, November 30th, Sparta Prague, 7 p.m, home. Tuesday, February 7th, PSV Eindhoven, 7 p.m, home. Under 18 Premier League South fixtures. Saturday, August 13th, Chelsea, 0-1. Saturday, August 20th, Fulham, 1-1. Saturday, August 27th, Tottenham Hotspur, 4-1. Saturday, September 17th, West Brom, 4-4. Saturday, October 1st, Norwich City, 2-1. Saturday, October 22nd, Brighton and Hove Albion, 11:30 a.m, home. Saturday, October 29th, Aston Villa, 12 p.m, away. Saturday, November 19th, Southampton, 11:30 a.m, home. Saturday, November 26th, West Ham United, home. Saturday, December 3rd, Leicester City, 11:30 a.m, away. Saturday, December 17th, Crystal Palace, away. Saturday, January 7th, Norwich City, 12 p.m, home. Saturday, January 14th, West Brom, 11:30 a.m, away. Saturday, January 28th, Fulham, home. Saturday, February 11th, Brighton and Hove Albion, 11:30 a.m, away. Saturday, February 18th, Chelsea, away. Saturday, February 25th, Crystal Palace, home. Saturday, March 18th, Tottenham Hotspur, away. Saturday, April 1st, Leicester City, 11:30 a.m, home. Saturday, April 15th, West Ham United, away. Saturday, April 22nd, Southampton, 11:30 a.m, away. Saturday, April 29th, Aston Villa, 12 p.m, home. Under 18, Premier League South Table. West Ham United played 5, won 5, drawn 0, lost 0. Goals plus 9, points 15. Crystal Palace played 5, won 4, drawn 0, lost 1. Goals plus 8, points 12. Tottenham Hotspur played 5, won 3, drawn 0, lost 2, goals plus 2, points 9. Brighton and Hove Albion played 5, won 3, drawn 0, lost 2, goals minus 2, points 9. Arsenal played 5, won 2, drawn 2, lost 1, goals plus 3, points 8. Chelsea played 5, won 2, drawn 1, lost 2, goals plus 3, points 7. Norwich City played 5, won 2, lost 1, drawn 2, goals 0, points 7. Fulham played 5, won 1, draw 1, lost 3, goals minus 2, points 4. West Brom played 5, won 1, drawn 1, lost 3, goals minus 4, points 4. Leicester City played 5, won 1, drawn 1, lost 3, goals minus 5, points 4. Aston Villa played 5, won 1, drawn 1, lost 3, goals minus 6, points 4. Southampton played 5, won 0, drawn 2, lost 2, goals minus 6, points 2. Under 21 Premier League 2 table. Manchester City played 8, won 5, drawn 2, lost 1, goals plus 9, points 17. Crystal Palace played 8, won 5, drawn 2, lost 1, goals plus 9, points 17. Arsenal played 8, won 4, drawn 4, lost 0, goals plus 9, points 16. Everton played 8, won 5, drawn 1, lost 2, goals plus 3, points 16. Fulham played 8, won 4, drawn 3, lost 1, goals plus 13, points 15. Liverpool played 8, won 3, drawn 4, lost 1, goals plus 4, points 13. Chelsea played 9, won 3, drawn 4, lost 2, goals plus 3, points 13. Wolves played 9, won 3, drawn 2, lost 4, goals minus 8, points 11. Blackburn Rovers played 9, won 3, drawn 1, lost 5, goals minus 2, points 10. Brighton and Hove Albion played 8, won 2, drawn 3, lost 3, goals plus 3, points 9. Leicester City played 8, won 2, drawn 2, lost 4, goals minus 7, points 8. Manchester United played 9, won 0, drawn 6, lost 3, goals minus 11, points 6. Tottenham Hotspur played 9, won 0, drawn 4, lost 5, goals minus 14, points 4. West Ham United played 9, won 0, drawn 2, lost 7, goals minus 11, points 2. Premier League Cup under 18, Saturday, October 8th, Aston Villa, 1-0. Academy player appearances and goals. Player, Zach Arway, Premier League 2, 8, EFLT, 2. Under 18, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, 1. PLIC, 1. Total, 12. Charles Sago Jr., PL2, 6 plus 2, 4. EFLT, 1 plus 1. Under 18, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, plus 1. Total, 7 plus 4, 4. Hubert Gratzik, PL2, 6. EFLT, 1. Under 18, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, 1. Total, 8. Lino Souza, PL2, 6. EFLT, 1. Under 18s, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, 1. PLIC, none. Total, 8. Matthew Smith, PL2, 6. EFLT, 1. Under 18s, none. FAYC, none. PLC 2, none. PLIC, none. Total, 7. Nathan Butler Oyeji, PL2, 5 plus 3, 1. EFLT, 2, 2. Under 18s, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, 1. PLIC, 1, 1. Total, 9 plus 3, 4. Amario Cozier-Dubery, PL2, 5 plus 1, 2. EFLT, none. Under 18s, 1. FAYC, none. PL2C, 1. PLIC, none. Total, 7 plus 1, 2. James Sweet, PL2, 5 plus 1, 1. EFLT, 2. Under 18s, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, 1. Total, 8 plus 1, 1. Taylor Foran, PL2, 4 plus 2. EFLT, 2. Under 18s, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, 1 plus 1. PLIC, 1. Total, 8 plus 3. James Oleinka, PL2, 4, 2. EFLT, 1. Under 18s, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, 5, 2. Miguel Aziz, PL2, 4. EFLT, none. Under 18s, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, 1. PLIC, none. Total, 5, 1. Zane Monlui, PL2, 4. EFLT, plus 1. Under 18s, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, 4, plus 1. Mauro Bandeira, PL2, 3, plus 3. EFLT, 1 plus 1. Under 18s, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, 1 plus 1, 1. PLIC, 1. Total, 6 plus 5, 1. Jack Henry Francis, PL2, 3 plus 2, 1. EFLT, 1. Under 18s, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, 1. Total, 6 plus 2, 1. Caden Edwards, PL2, 3 plus 1, 2. EFLT, none. Under 18s, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, 3 plus 1, 2. Marquino, PL2, 3, 3. EFLT, none. Under 18s, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, 3, 3. Joel Indeo, PL2, 2 plus 2, 1, EFLT, 1 plus 1, under-18s, none, FAYC, none, PL2C, 2, 3, PLIC, 1, total, 4 plus 3, 4. Katalin Sirjan, PL2, 2, EFLT, plus 2, under-18s, none, FAYC, none, PL2C, plus 1, PLIC, none, total, 2 plus 3. Ruel Walters, PL2, 2, EFLT, plus 1, under-18s, none, FAYC, none, PL2C, 1, PLIC, none, total, 3 plus 1. Henry Jeffcott, PL2, 1 plus 1, EFLT, none, under-18s, none, FAYC, none, PL2C, plus 1, PLIC, 1, total, 2 plus 2. Eliane Quisada Thorne, PL2, 1, EFLT, 1, under-18s, 4, 1, FAYC, none, PL2C, 1, PLIC, none, total, 7. Carl Hein, PL2, 1, EFLT, 1, under-18s, none, FAYC, none, PL2C, none, PLIC, none, total, 2. Bradley Ibrahim, PL2, 1, EFLT, plus 1, under-18s, 3, FAYC, none, PL2C, 1, PLIC, 1, total, 6 plus 1. Ethan Nwaneri, PL2, 1, EFLT, none, under-18s, 5, 2, FAYC, none, PL2C, none, PLIC, plus 1, total, 6 plus 1, 2. Takahiro Tomiyasu, PL2, 1, EFLT, none, under-18s, none, FAYC, none, PL2C, none, PLIC, none, total, 1. Tom Smith, PL2, 1, EFLT, none, under-18s, none, FAYC, none, PL2C, none, PLIC, none, total, 1. Kido Taylor Hart, PL2, plus 2, EFLT, 2, under-18s, none, FAYC, none, PL2C, plus 1, PLIC, 1, total, 3 plus 3. Billy Vigar, PL2, plus 2, EFLT, plus 1, under-18s, none, FAYC, none, PL2C, 1, PLIC, none, total, 1 plus 3. Timothy Akinola, PL2, plus 1, EFLT, 1, under-18s, none, FAYC, none, PL2C, plus 1, PLIC, none, total, 1 plus 2. Josh Robinson, PL2, plus 1, EFLT, none, under-18s, 2, FAYC, none, PL2C, 1, PLIC, plus 1, total, 3 plus 2. Tala Edin, PL2, plus 1, EFLT, none, under-18s, none, FAYC, none, PL2C, none, PLIC, none, total, plus 1. Sebastian Ferdinand, PL2, none, EFLT, none, under-18s, 7, 2, FAYC, none, PL2C, none, PLIC, none, total, 7, 2. Maldini Kakuri, PL2, none, EFLT, none, under-18s, 7, FAYC, none, PL2C, 1, PLIC, none, total, 8. Harrison Dudziak, PL2, none, EFLT, none. Under 18, 6 plus 1. FAYC, none. PL2C, 1. PLIC, none. Total, 7 plus 1. Josh Nichols, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under 18, 6 plus 1. FAYC, none. PL2C, plus 1. PLIC, none. Total, 6 plus 2. Alexi Rojas, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under 18s, 6 plus 1. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, 6 plus 1. Ishmael Ulad Mahant, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under 18s, 5 plus 1, 1. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, 5 plus 1. Louise Brown, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under 18s, 4 plus 1. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, 4 plus 1. Tino Kwamina, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under 18s, 4. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, 4. Amari Benjamin, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under 18s, 3 plus 1, 4. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, 3 plus 1, 4. Osman Kamara, PL2, none. EFL2, none. Under 18s, 3 plus 1, 1. FAYC, none. PLC2, none. PLIC, none. Total, 3 plus 1, 1. Jimmy Gower, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under 18s, 3 plus 1. FAYC, none. PL2C, plus 1. PLIC, none. Total, 3 plus 2. Miles Lewis Skelly, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under 18s, 3, 1. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, 3, 1. Colleen Green, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under 18s, 2 plus 3, 2. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, 2 plus 3, 2. Mikhail Rosiek, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under 18s, 2. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, 2. Alex Kovacevic, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under 18s, 1. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, 1. Kamani Ryan, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under 18s, plus 3. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, plus 3. Kobe Small, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under 18s, plus 3. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, plus 3. Mateus Roberts, PL2, none. EFL2, none. Under 18s, plus 2. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, plus 2. Henry Davies, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under 18s, plus 1. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, plus 1. Romari Ford, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under-18s, plus one. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, plus one. Chido Obi, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under-18s, plus one. FAYC, none. PL2C, none. PLIC, none. Total, plus one. James Hilson, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under-18s, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, 2. PLIC, none. Total, 2. Cedric Suarez, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under-18s, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, 1, 1. PLIC, none. Total, 1, 1. George Lewis, PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under-18s, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, 1. PLIC, plus 1. Total, 1 plus 1. Emil Smith Rao. PL2, none. EFLT, none. Under-18s, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, 1. PLIC, none. Total, 1. Fabio Vieira, PLC2, none. EFLT, none. Under-18s, none. FAYC, none. PL2C, 1. PLIC, none. Total, 1.
Match action. Arsenal versus Bodo Glimt. Arsenal 3, Bodo Glimt 0. Arsenal scorers: Nketiah, 23rd minute. Holding, 27th minute. Vieira, 84th minute. Thursday, October 6th, 2022. Emirates Stadium. Timeline: 9th minute. Vieira's shot from 10 yards glances off the bar. 23rd minute. Nketiah fires home after Tierney's shot hit the post. 27th minute. Holding heads the second from an excellent Vieira cross. 46th minute. Xhaka sees his shot inside the area well saved. 84th minute. Great work from Jesus sets up Vieira for the third. Facts. This was our 7th match against Norwegian opposition and our 6th victory. Bodo Glimt became the 102nd visiting side to play at Emirates Stadium. Eddie Nketiah has scored on each of his last 4 European starts. Matt Turner. It was a really, really special night for me. Obviously, watching from afar, games in Europe just look like beautiful theatre. To be able to put my feet on the grass tonight, play and keep a clean sheet, it was just a really special night for myself and my family, but more importantly, for the team to get a win.
Match action. Arsenal versus Liverpool, Premier League, Sunday, October the 9th, 2022, 4:30 p.m, Emirates Stadium. Arsenal 3, scored by Martinelli in the first minute and Saka in the 45th and 76th with a penalty. Liverpool 2, scored by Nunes, 34th minute, and Firmino in the 53rd minute. Timeline 1. Martinelli sweeps home Odegaard's through ball for the opening goal. 34, Nunes equalises from Diaz's cross. 45, in the 5th minute of injury time, Saka converts at the far post to restore our lead. 53, Firmino tucks home into the corner. 74, Jesus is fouled in the penalty box by Thiago for a spot kick. 76, Saka converts from the spot for the winner. We have won at least 8 of our first 9 league matches in a top-flight campaign for only the 4th time, after 2007-08, 2004-05, and 1947-48. There have been 180 goals scored in Premier League meetings between Arsenal and Liverpool, the most of any fixture in the competition's history. We have now scored 54 goals via players aged 21 and under in the Premier League under Mikel Arteta, 22 more than any other side since his first game in charge. Stats. Expected goals. Arsenal 3.09. Liverpool 1.13. Possession. Arsenal 44%. Liverpool 56%. Total shots. Arsenal 11, Liverpool 8. Shots on target, Arsenal 7, Liverpool 3. Completed passes, Arsenal 302, Liverpool 395. Corners, Arsenal 4, Liverpool 3. Tackles 1, Arsenal 10, Liverpool 7. Yellow cards, Arsenal 1, Liverpool 2. Red cards, Arsenal 0, Liverpool 0. Gabriel Martinelli said, "I enjoyed it a lot. It was a great game, and I think it's a game that everyone wants to play, and not just me, but I think all of the players enjoyed the game. I think we need to keep our feet on the floor and go game by game and try to win all of them." There are two photographs with this report. The first has the caption, "Nerves of Steel. Bukayo Saka tucks home the decisive penalty." And the second, Gabriel Martinelli and his teammates celebrate the Brazilians' opening goal on a memorable Emirates afternoon.
Match action. Europa League, Thursday, October 13th, 2022, 5:45 p.m. Aspimra Stadium. Bodo Glimt 0, Arsenal 1. Timeline. 2 minutes. Saka lifts the ball over the keeper from a narrow angle but misses the target. 24. Saka puts Arsenal ahead after the ball rebounded back to him off a defender. 52. Turner saves well from Pellegrino. 58. Esbjord misses a great chance to equalise from close range. Facts. We have lost just one of our last 15 away games in the Europa League, 1-11, drawn 3. Prior to this game, Bodo Glimt had won each of their past 14 home games in European football. This was the furthest north we have ever played a competitive fixture.
Match action. Premier League, Sunday, October 16th, 2022, 2 p.m. Elland Road. Leeds United 0, Arsenal 1. Saka, 35. Full time, Leeds United 0, Arsenal 1. Stats, expected goals, LUFC 1.86, AFC 0.55. Possession, LUFC 47%, AFC 53%. Total shots, LUFC 16, AFC 9. Shots on target, LUFC 4, AFC 4. Completed passes, LUFC 334, AFC 415. Corners, LUFC 6, AFC 3. Tackles 1, LUFC 14, AFC 10. Yellow cards, LUFC 0, AFC 2. Red cards, LUFC 0, AFC 0. Timeline, 1st minute, the game is halted due to a power cut. 21st minute, Gabriel Jesus shoots wide at the far post. 35th minute, Saka scores into the roof of the net from Odegaard's pass. 61st minute, Leeds win a penalty for a handball against Saliba. 64th minute, Bamford sends his penalty just wide. 90th minute, Gabriel concedes a penalty and is red carded for a foul on Bamford, but VAR overturns. Facts. This is the first time we have ever won 9 of our opening 10 games in our top flight league history. Bukayo Saka's goal was his 50th goal involvement for Arsenal under Mikel Arteta in all competitions. 26 goals, 24 assists. This was the first Premier League game this season in which we have failed to score after half-time. Aaron Ramsdale. We weren't good enough today in terms of keeping the ball the way we want to play. But as a whole, as a collective, we were outstanding defensively. 1-0. Win away from home at Leeds is a really tough ask, and we've done that.
Teams. For Arsenal, manager Mikel Arteta. Shirt, red with white sleeves. Shorts, white. Socks, red. 1. Aaron Ramsdale, goalkeeper. 3. Kieran Tierney. 4. Ben White. 5. Thomas Partey. 6. Gabriel Magalhães. 7. Bukayo Saka. 8. Martin Odegaard. 9. Gabriel Jesus. 10. Emile Smith-Rowe. 11. Gabriel Martinelli. 12. William Saliba. 14. Eddie Nketiah. 16. Rob Holding. 17. Cedric Suarez. 18. Takehiro Tomiyasu. 21. Fabio Vieira. 23. Albert Sambi Lokonga. 24. Reece Nelson. 25. Mohamed Elneny. 27. Marquinhos. 30. Matt Turner, goalkeeper. 31. Karl Hein, goalkeeper. 34. Granit Xhaka. 35. Alexandra Zinchenko. For PSV Eindhoven, manager Ruud van Nistelrooy. Shirt blue, shorts blue, socks blue. 1. Walter Benitez, goalkeeper. 2. Kijana Hoever. 3. Jordan Tezi. 4. Armando Obispo. 5. Andre Hamalio. 6. Ibrahim Sangare. 7. Xavi Simons. 8. Marco van Ginkel. 9. Luc de Jong. 10. Noni Mandueke. 11. Cody Gakpo. 15. Eric Gutierrez. 16. Joel Drommel, goalkeeper. 17. Mauro Junior. 18. Oliver Boschali. 20. Guus Til. 21. Anwar El Ghazi. 22. Jared Branthwaite. 23. Joe Veerman. 24. Boy Waterman, goalkeeper. 27. Johan Bakayoko. 28. Ishmael Saibari. 29. Philippe Mweni. 31. Philip Max. 32. Jobe Vertessen. 33. Savio. 35. Frederick Oppegard. 37. Richard Ledesma. All tonight's officials are from Spain. Referee Alejandro Hernandez. Assistant referees Jose Naranjo, Diego Sanchez Rojo. Fourth official Alejandro Muniz Ruiz. VAR official Juan Martinez Monreal. Additional VAR official Ricardo de Burgos.
It's time to step up your cyber protection. Get hashtag cyberfit with Acronis. Acronis, official partner of Arsenal.
EA Sports. FIFA official licensed product. Powered by football. Registered trademark.
Adidas.com/Arsenal. Arsenal. Where we belong. Where we belong. Where we belong. Where we
belong. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.